Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hello, hooray! Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. Let it begin, because I'm ready, and I'm flying solo tonight. Link is out sick with a horrible head/upper respiratory cold, and Alan has a flat tire. Or I should say he got a flat tire on the way home from work and had to go get new tires for his car. So it's just me tonight, Dan Washko. I'll be your host. We've got a jam-packed session. Be waxing nostalgic throughout the beginning half of the program. I'd like to start things off with a get well to Link. And also, if you've been banging your head into the sand a little too hard, you might have missed the fact that Ozzy Osbourne is in the hospital in critical condition after a ATV accident, which I think happened over in the United Kingdom. Broke some ribs and vertebrae. They expect him to pull through, but he is pretty much laid up right now and probably in no condition to do much of anything but sleep and get better. So we wish that the best of luck to him. So as we begin our show this evening, I'm going to kick it off with the usual promo. And if you're not on the IRC chat line, that's the linuxlink.net, join tech show. Please get on there. And here's our promo. I'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal of Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux Users Group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together. I'm back. Welcome to the show. Again, it's just me, Dan Washko, your humble host tonight. Link and Alan are out. And hopefully this show will make up for the disaster of last week. Not that Link and Alan did a bad job, but streaming from Link's house didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to. I got to get a fatter pipe, and hopefully that'll be happening after the holidays. I might be able to move to Speakeasy. All right. Top of the news tonight. Tech show winner of the contest for the Pentium 3 machine with Slackware installed, which after the winner gets it might have Debian installed, was John P. Milligan. You can go to our blog and you can see the actual clues, the six that we gave, and the final answer. He got it. It was the linuxlink.net/RWX RW capital S RW capital T, which is the command if you used chmod and put in 3766, that is the permissions you would get. And like we said, it was case sensitive. Congratulations, John, and I believe he'll be picking up his machine this weekend, which is nice because I finally get it out of my house. Continuing on tonight, talk about our first topic. Gonna take a little break from some of the old techie stuff. That's good. Excellent. You have to cut me some slack since I'm running solo. If you're on the chat line, I might not be able to pick up exactly what you guys are writing over there. I know there's a little Debian Slackware war going on right now. But I'll try to keep an eye on there as I try and keep things flowing. Not too many pauses, so I appreciate you giving me a break. You're the best. All right. Getting onward, I'd like to talk about one of my favorite characters tonight. I was thinking a lot throughout the day about this character. It's a character who has crossed just about every form of entertainment media, has made numerous comebacks, and starting this past November, has kicked off yet another comeback. And, of course, I am talking about Robert E. Howard's Conan of Cimmeria. So why am I a little excited about Conan of Cimmeria right now? I've always been a big fan of Conan, and how does this relate to technology? Well, there is a Conan game coming out. Supposedly, it was to be released in November, but I don't think it's been released in the States yet. Looks fantastic. You can check it out at conanthegame.com. They do have a Windows Media file that you can download and take a look at. And if you set up your mPlayer properly and have the Windows Media Codex, it plays wonderfully on Linux. I was very impressed with the video and the graphics of the game. The gameplay is supposed to be pretty fun. It's an RPG-based, third-person-based game where you control Conan and have to take him through various environments of the Hyperborea world. Looks really great. What threw me at first, if you watch the way Conan runs, he almost looks like he's lumbering along. But after I watched it, I think they really captured how someone of that size might actually move. So give it a look, see what you think. It has a pretty decent fighting system, supposedly. Now, again, I haven't played it, but it's been getting pretty good praise from the various conventions they showed it at. The graphics look great, in-depth gameplay. It's coming out for all the major gaming systems, Nintendo GameCube, PlayStation, Xbox. So keep an eye out for that. But I thought I'd just wax nostalgic on Conan, because it was a pretty big influence in my life. I don't know how I'd say influence, but I've been a big fan ever since pre-adolescent days. back there down in the middle school era. I was a big fan of Dungeons and Dragons, and prior to that I've always been a fan of monsters and fantasy stuff. But it was right before my kickoff into the comic book world. But a big fan of D&D. I was on one of our many weekly trips to Laneco in Coopersburg, which is now gone, replaced by a giant. Laneco went out of business. And I was perusing the magazine section, and the comic book rack caught my eye. And I saw there was a picture of Conan, well, it was a Conan comic book, fighting what looked like a large snake with a Medusa-type head. That caught my attention, and I picked it up, I read through it, and I bought it. And that was the first Conan, actually the first comic book I ever bought. And it certainly wasn't the last, as my usually weekly expensive habit, my wife can attest to, and the thousands upon thousands of comic books I have stacked up around the house. Anyway, I believe that was issue 131, 132, or somewhere around then. I was an avid reader after that, picking up every copy I can get on a monthly basis. At that time, Marvel was also putting out King Conan, which was based on Conan's older years. And there was a third magazine called Savage Sword of Conan. Now, I was just mainly a Conan the Barbarian fan. That was when I was picking up King Conan every now and then. And one Christmas, back when I was around 12, 13, we used to spend our Christmases at my mom's friend's house. My dad usually had to work or had to go into work sometime that day. So after we had our Christmas at our house, we went to her house on Madison Street in Allentown, where my parents lived when I was born. And there wasn't much fun going on there. So we used to take long walks into Allentown down 7th Street, no, 15th Street, I'm sorry, into town. And about the only thing that was open was a 7-Eleven down there by Turner. It was off of 15th Street. I think it was 7th and 15th. Anyway, it was quite a long walk. We go down there. And that's where I picked up my first copy of The Savage Sword of Conan. There was nothing else there that I was interested in reading. Picked that up, and I read that thing like 10 times. I was infatuated with it back in my younger days of violence and gore. And just the scene where they had captured him and taken him into the caravan. They were going across, I think it was the Cordova Desert, and he cut one of the camel riders' heads off, and his head was laying there on the ground. It was like the second page. I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. Anyway, throughout the years, I collected any Conan comic I could after that. I managed to go down to Q-Mart, and if you've never been to Q-Mart, it's Quakertown Farmers Market. It's a place to check out. On weekends, they have a little farmer's market thing going on in the back, and auctions and stuff. And you might be able to pick up some older hardware, some equipment over there. They used to have a computer shop in there. The guy got busted for child pornography. So I don't know what exists there anymore. There was two. There was one in the main part of Q-Mart, and there was one in the back. Now, the back section, it's even weirder than the front section. And if you've been to Q-Mart, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it's a den of inbreeding that you got to check out. It's funky. But anyway, I lucked out to go to Q-Mart about once every couple of months, and there was a fabulous little magazine store that still exists in there. They sold comic books, magazines, a lot of back issues. I used to go in there and spend my hard-earned allowance on back issues of Famous Monsters and Monster Times, particularly ones with Godzilla. But I was really ecstatic to find that they had a ton of back issues of Conan the Barbarian. And I remember picking those up and loving to go to Q-Mart to find those. Another place I picked up a lot of copies were on the way to the shore. We used to go to Rehoboth Beach, go through Delaware, right by the Dover Air Force Base, there was a 7-Eleven, which is no longer there, right off of Route 1. Stop in there, and they always, for some reason, had, like, back issues of their comic books on the racks, and I always used to find back issues of Conan in there. It was great. right near the Air Force Base. Anyway, another thing about Q-Mart, it was senior year. Here's a little bit of information for you. They had this really cool record store in there that would sell out-of-print records and bootlegs and stuff like that. And I went in there and I was like, wow, I found a ton of out-of-print Alice Cooper albums, Flush the Fashion, Zipper Catches Skin, and I believe Special Forces I picked up there that night, and a live album. I was like, whoa, yeah, awesome, awesome. It was also the night I hooked up with what was to be my senior prom date. Now, unfortunately, I never made it to the senior prom because a few weeks before the prom, she ran away. Now, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I think the few weeks before she ran away was actually, I went to Q-Mart on a Friday. That Monday, she had gone. So, our relationship didn't really last that long. She ran away to California, and I never saw her again. So, that was my senior prom mishap. I never asked anybody else because I was a self-appointed loser at the time, and perhaps I haven't gotten any better, but that's the way it was, and that's how it happened. Anyway, back to Conan. I hit you up with a little trivia of Conan because I'm a big fan of Robert E. Howard and a big fan of the pulp fiction that was written around that time, the Weird Tale stuff. Robert E. Howard and Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft. Now, I say Lovecraft, and I can hear over there in Allentown on South Mountain, Chris Heaver shifting in his bed, mumbling Yog-Sothoth and Narlatep and everything, and go blah, 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 blah. Because if he's not quoting something out of the Lord of the Rings, he's usually quoting something from Lovecraft in his emails to the Lug mailing list. He's a cool kid. He's pretty damn intelligent. So anybody who likes Lovecraft can't be all that bad. I'm a big fan of Robert E. Howard's work. And another really cool thing that's going on, particularly with regards to Conan this month, December 3rd, Conan of Sumeria, an anthology collecting the beginning works of Robert E. Howard's Conan, is released to the bookstore, I think in paperback format. It's $14.95, something to check out if you're a Robert E. Howard or a Conan fan. When Wandering Star Publishers actually put the collector's edition together, it runs about $100 and some with the original printings and everything out of the Weird Tales magazine. So if I had that kind of money, I'd love to buy something like that, but I'll have to settle for the paperback. Anyway, something to check out. Also, with regards to Conan, being a big fan of the Conan comics, now Marvel's Conan comic run ended, the final run ended about, I'd say, 6-7 years ago. I could be mistaken. But Dark Horse Comics has picked it up. In November, they put out the Conan preview, and I was amazed at how well written this was, and the story was very captivating. But the biggest bummer about it was that the actual series doesn't kick off until February 2004, so I got to wait another 2 more months to get the actual first issue. But I really look forward to it. And all this stuff I'm talking about, you can find on the Conan.com website. Now, the Conan.com website, it's a nice website, and it looks great in Mozilla and Firebird. Originally, it was set up for the Conan TV show. And I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Conan, but thank God that thing died. That was a piece of crap, in my opinion. Now, Ralph Moliere played Conan, and he did a great job. Although he ran around in a Speedo leather Speedo loincloth all the time, and a big bulge down there would draw your attention. And that was that was one thing. He always ran around without a shorts. The dialogue in there they gave him was absolutely atrocious. Like the one outstanding line in a show where he had some kind of affair with an Amazon, and she left. It didn't work out at the end, and apparently she was pregnant. And his line was at the end, "Will I ever see my Amazon daughter again?" And it was really stupid, really. And Now, there was that midget dude, or the dwarf, that his name was Otley on the show, and I forget what his name was, but he showed up on Seinfeld. In fact, he was, like, burning through so many TV shows at that time. He was okay. He was a little comic relief. The deaf guy, the deaf and mute guy, no, he wasn't deaf, he was mute, who wielded the pole staff was pretty cool. Then they had this guy on there. The actor's name was TJ Storm. It was the guy ruined the show. It was terrible, I thought. And they were running around the time that Xena and Hercules were really big, and it carried over the campiness of the Xena and Hercules shows, but it just doesn't work for Conan. Yeah, Danny Woodburn was Otley. Man, it's good I have the chat line up here, because I get my information as they tell it. It was terrible. And even worse than TJ Storm was the flamboyant wizard who talked to that skull in the pot. I'm glad it's gone, because it was just... It was so bad, it took away my disappointment of the Conan the Adventurer cartoon that was on a few years before that. Now, the Conan the Adventurer cartoon wasn't that bad, but Conan's dark, Conan's violent, and in a cartoon, and particularly in the United States where you can't kill anybody, it just doesn't work. It was like Thundar the Barbarian, just running around, not killing anybody, and there wasn't any robots, because they weren't in the future, so they couldn't cut people up. You know, like Samurai Jack these days gets away from really killing people by everything he kills is either a monster or a robot. But anyway, so that wasn't too bad. And I'm going backwards here now through the Conan anthology, you know, Conan years. And, you know, we also had the Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer movies, which were really great. That was actually the first movie I received, or we had, when my mom got us our first VCR for Christmas. That was really, really cool. I watched the heck out of that movie. Unfortunately, it was the one off of TV. It was just a bootleg copy of the TV, so I had the commercials. But finally, I managed to get my own copy. And I watched that thing like 40 or 50 times. I got the DVD of Conan that has all the special edition stuff and clips. It was I love that movie. I would just constantly watch it, particularly the battle scenes at the end. And the cool thing about the DVD is I could just jump right to those battle scenes. Excellent. Destroyer was pretty good. I know a lot of people were disappointed with that, particularly Conan fans. But it was cool. And a little bit of trivia, in case you didn't really know this, but the main antagonist of Conan the Barbarian was Thulsa Doom. Supposedly kidnapped Conan, sold him into the gladiator slavers, and killed his parents. Well, Thulsa Doom wasn't really a Conan villain in the original Robert E. Howard stories. Thulsa Doom didn't even appear in a Conan stories. He was a King Cole villain. King Cole was another character by Robert E. Howard. Kind of similar to Conan, but he existed during the days of Atlantis. He was captured as a slave by the Atlanteans, and he broke out and started a revolt, and actually became king of Atlantis. So, he wasn't really a Conan villain. The wizard in Conan the Destroyer, Toth Amon, was a prominent Conan villain in the Conan's later days when he was king of Aquilonia. He was pretty prominent in the comic book too. What I thought was disappointing around that time, right after I think it was Conan the Destroyer, another Robert E. Howard character made it to film, and that was Red Sonja. And surprisingly, Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in there, but not as Conan, which was really disappointing. He was a prince or something. It was alright. Bridget Nielsen, I think is her name, played Red Sonja. And which was also, both King Cole and Red Sonja were comic books of Marvel. Red Sonja appeared a lot in Conan the Barbarian, and vice versa. Now, King Cole existed far before them, so they never really teamed up. A couple other Robert E. Howard characters, Brian McMorn and Solomon Kane. Solomon Kane's interesting because he was a Puritan witch hunter in the 18th century, I believe, United States. One of my all-time favorite stories I read was by Robert E. Howard. It was an anthology that I picked up, a used book, at a book show. It was called Pigeons from Hell. And that story, I love it. In that anthology was another story where this guy went back in time and became Conan. Conan was one of his ancestors and was fighting lizard men at the time. Now, the lizard men of the Hyperborea world sometimes seem to cross over with some Lovecraftian stuff. And as we're on the topic of Conan and some of the early stuff that Robert E. Howard wrote, what you might not know was there was actually a screenplay written for a Conan the Barbarian movie back around the mid-1930s, I think it was, maybe 1940s, but they never produced it because it was so dark. They felt the ending was too dark, it would depress people. So, that's an interesting bit of trivia right there for you, any Conan fans. Let me shift a little bit about H.P. Lovecraft, who I really love Lovecraft stories. And I was thinking today, you know, about Robert E. Howard and H.P. Lovecraft. A lot of Lovecraftian mythos, the Cthulhu mythos, keep popping up in so many different things. I remember there was a cartoon version of the Ghostbusters. Now, not the new Ghostbusters, where they had that ape running around with them and didn't have any of the original characters, which I really think that show sucked. And I don't even know why they put that on. But the original Ghostbusters with the cast from the movie in cartoon format, they actually fought Cthulhu in one of their cartoon episodes. I thought it was pretty cool at the end where they had to shoot Cthulhu with their little ghost blasters as he came up out of the ocean. There's been a number of games through the years that are either based upon or involve the Cthulhu mythos. There was a game I managed to get my hands over. I think it was called Shadow over Innsmouth. That was a Cthulhu game for Windows. It was an old, old game. And that was pretty cool. It was a little challenging, but it was a fun game. Then there was the game I'm playing right now, Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. I'm on a third go-through of that. Is really based upon the Cthulhu mythos. Has a lot of Edgar Allan Poe stuff in it, too. It's really fun. You know, and when you have monsters you have to fight that are like Chitagora and Zelototh and Ulia, you get those funky names going on. Yog-Sothoth, who's not in there, Narlotep, Cthulhu, I can't remember some of the other ones right now. It's always a nice little Lovecraftian stuff. The Necronomicon, his infamous book and his stories, which actually made the rounds in a lot of the pulp fiction writers at the time. Robert E. Howard wrote some Cthulhu stuff. There was a book published a few years back. I'm talking like almost 15 or 20 years, called Robert E. Howard's Cthulhu Mythos, which did have Pigeons from Hell was in there, and it was a really interesting take on the Cthulhu mythos by Robert E. Howard. Something to check out. If you're not in the know, there was a movie released a couple years back called The Whole Wide World, which was loosely based upon the relationship Robert E. Howard had. What's her name? Well, I have a link up on the references page. You can check it out with some woman. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm not a big fan of Renee Zellweger, who's in there. But it's something to check out. But rolling back to Conan for a couple of minutes, because we're getting close to intermission time. Conan's appeared in a number of games throughout the years. The most recent one, of course, is going to be the Conan game that's produced by TDK to be released in a very near future. Looks fantastic. There was a Conan game for the Nintendo game system, and why it was called Conan, I have no idea, because it was absolutely nothing really to do with Conan except the guy swinging a sword. It was a god-awful game, and it was based more upon Greek mythology than it was on the Hyperborean world. It was a tough game, because when you got to the end, and there was no saving, but when you got to the end, which took a little while, you had to pick the right order of these urns. If you didn't, the game was over. So you had to play this thing all the way through until you eventually found the correct order. It was a terrible game. Paladin has produced for us what the worldwide, what Whole Wide World is about. Robert E. Howard's relationship with Novalyn Price. Something to check out if you're interested in Robert E. Howard and his life. And I think the only other Conan game was for the Commodore 64. And I never had a Commodore 64, but my friend did, and I saw it. And there was a lot of jumping and slashing, and, you know, graphics were Commodore 64 graphics. That's about all I saw of it, because he wouldn't let me play. A nice guy. He was more interested in playing Bruce Lee, which was really a cool game for the Commodore 64. I wonder if they have that on an emulation, Commodore 64 emulator for Linux, be able to grab that and play those two games. You know what? I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, I remember grabbing another Conan game off of one of the emulators that was made for the PC about 15 years ago. I can't remember what it's called. It was a Conan game, but it was fairly involving and fairly interesting. All right. I think that's all we have to say about Conan. Let me check my notes. Remember to, if you're interested, check out some of that stuff. I have all the links up on the reference section on our Linux Link Tech Show website. I'll let you know how that Conan of Sumeria book is. The wife ordered it for me. And, you know, check out the game preview that you can take a look at. Coming up on our second half of the show, I'm going to talk about my pick of games for the holidays, Linux Cluster World magazine, and some other things. So I'm going to play our intermission song right now because it's about 9:35. I'm going to take a little break, take a couple sips of my Diet Cherry Coke over here. Now, Diet Cherry Coke has not been released in this area yet, and the only place I have actually seen it is in Brigantine, New Jersey. But, you know, you go to the soda fountain at Wawa, and you get a little half and half of Diet Coke and Cherry Coke, and some days it's a little more diet, or some days it's a little more cherry, but that's the way it goes if you want a Diet Cherry Coke around here. Anyway, yes, I think it was Conan Hall of Volta, the one I played, because Paladin's bringing that up. All right, anyway, in homage to Ozzy, of course we can't play an Ozzy song, because we don't have the license for that. I'm going to play a song called Nightmare by a Russian group, and named Zalix. If you like the song, hopefully it'll play without crashing. If you like the song, maybe it'll play, maybe it won't. Check them out. And this is Nightmare by Zalix.
I can't believe we got you.
that was Nightmare by... Sorry, that was Nightmare by Zalix, a Russian group. Kind of ended abruptly, but hey, why not? Before I get into my gaming picks for this upcoming holiday, I thought I would share with you the actual download counts for the Linux Link Tech Show archives that Link was so kind to compile for us on his sick day today. We had a great kickoff for the first show of 58 downloads, but since then we've had about half of that, averaging about 25 downloads per show for a total of 302 downloads in total so far. Now, I probably make up 8 of those, if that. So we have a lot of people listening. Losing shows were November 19th. Actually, that's not true, because I'm looking at the MP3 analog. But actually, last week's show has a whopping 6 downloads, so kick out mine, which was number... We have approximately 5 downloads, and I haven't listened to the entire thing of last week's show yet. I'd be interested to hear what this week's show is, download-wise. But I want to thank Link for compiling those statistics for us. Prior to the show today, I had to run out and get some toilet paper. Because if you live in a house dominated by females, one thing you need a lot of is toilet paper. And the one who uses the most toilet paper is one who hasn't even had a diapers yet. She likes to wad them up and throw them in a sink and in the toilet and everywhere else in the bathroom. But, yeah, big toilet paper usage in this house. Anyway, I went to Wegmans, and every time I go to Wegmans, I just breeze by the magazine section to make sure that there isn't anything blocking the Linux magazines they have there, because they've been selling Linux Magazine and Linux World Magazine. I also pick up CPU Magazine on occasion. But I noticed a magazine there by Play called Girls of Gaming Magazine. I don't know. I think we've taken it a little too far when we have a... pinup-like magazine devoted to the female characters in electronic gaming. And yes, they were all there. Lara Croft, Alex Rovius, Samus Aran from Metroid, Bloodine. A whole bunch of the female characters in provocative poses from the video games. But, I don't know. It's just interesting. Before I continue on about magazines, I'm going to give you my pick of games for the holidays. Now, these are based solely upon me seeing the commercials and checking them out and what interests me. So my interests do not necessarily reflect any other member of the tech show's interest, but I chose games that would be across the board for the three major gaming systems, GameCube, which I own, PlayStation 2, which everybody else owns, and Xbox, which I think too many people own. Anyway, I think one of the first picks I have, which I think is a really cool game, is Simpsons Hit and Run. And I don't know any gamer out there that is not a fan of The Simpsons, but it looks really hilarious. It's supposed to be a really fantastic game, and I would love to see... actually play it, and I'm hoping that my daughter gets it for Christmas, because I asked for other games, but it looks like a lot of fun. I think another game that really looks cool is Prince of Persia Sands of Time. Every time I got a TiVo, and every time that commercial comes on in one of the shows I'm watching the TiVo, I usually fast forward through most of the commercials. I stop to watch those previews. Prince of Persia has a long history in gaming dating back to the Apple. Was one of a game on the Apple, and it looks like to be a fun third person kind of puzzle adventure game, which I believe in the past they were side scrolling adventure games. I've never played them. They always look like fun games if you're into that kind of Pitfall esque and solve little puzzles, avoid traps, some jumping and hopping and figure things out type stuff. Anyway, that looks pretty cool. It's by Ubisoft. And another game by Ubisoft is Beyond Good and Evil. That is getting pretty good reviews. The graphics look top-notch. It's Alien Takeover of the Planet. and it's your job to expose this takeover. So it's not just a straightforward figuring out puzzles fighting game, but you also have to use a camera and do a little detective work and unearth the actual conspiracy that's going on. It looks pretty cool. Apparently, there's very few games that carry on the camera genre. One of the ones that I've played in the past was Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which is the latest Legend of Zelda game. Actually, it's not. It's the latest one that Nintendo released for the GameCube. But technically speaking, there is a new Legend of Zelda disc, Collector's Edition, which puts together the first Legend of Zelda, the second one, the one for GameCube, which was the Ocarina of Time, and then there's Majora's Mask, which was, I believe, only released in Japan. And the only way you can get this this game is either you have to buy a GameCube and a couple of games, or you have to get a subscription to Nintendo Power Magazine, and they'll get it for you. So that's another thing I'm asking for Christmas. But I'm looking forward to that because I really love the Zelda games. My daughter loves the Zelda games. They're really fun stuff. So those are my three game picks for the holidays. Simpsons Hit and Run, Prince of Persia, Sand of Time, and Beyond Good and Evil. I think those are going to be pretty popular and big hits. All right. Yesterday was the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group December meeting, the final meeting for the year, 2003, and we were graced by the presence and a presentation from Douglas Edline, who is the editor of Cluster World magazine, a new magazine that is just come out from Quarter Power Media, were the publishers of Linux Magazine. Now, I got a little confused because when you look at Cluster World Magazine, I thought, oh, they must be affiliated with Linux World and MX Developer World Journal. But no, it's not. They are affiliated with Linux Magazine. And he came and did a really great presentation, talked about the history of parallel computing and clusters. And he's been on board with building clusters and doing parallel computing for a very, very long time. He used to work for a company called Paralogic, which is was based in Bethlehem. And he has since gone his own way. And I think they've gone on to other things besides clustering. But he did a phenomenal presentation explaining clusters, how they work, and talked about, you know, all the stuff that you can do to actually build your own cluster. And he has a bunch of systems in his basement that he clusters together and does a whole bunch of different things. It was great to have him speak. If you go to the Cluster World website and sign up for a free 3-month trial subscription, you get entered into a giveaway for an Opteron cluster, which is, you get a decent magazine for 3 months, free, chance to win an Opteron cluster, and you can cancel if you don't want to continue. But it's something to check out, something to promote the Linux world. Now, his opinion, clustering is really starting to take off. It's big in university settings and other places that used to use mainframes and other kinds of supercomputers because it's a very cost-effective, customized solution to get your project through the design phase to producing results very fast. And he's coming out with a couple of books, and what he talked about yesterday was something like, I'll term it the disposable cluster, because he's gathering together a bunch of these Walmart PCs, and he's saying for $2,000 you could build yourself a fairly powerful cluster that you can get some serious work done on, and then basically when you're done, chuck it. But he has a book coming out in a little while. It doesn't have a title yet, but it's basically the basics of clustering. There's going to be three volumes: the basics of clustering, and the next one is building. I think it might be
which he's involved with, of building these cheap clusters. I don't want to call cheap clusters, but the disposable clusters. And there's another book on what applications that you can run and an overview of the applications. So he's got a lot of stuff going on. And what's really cool is that he is based in Bethlehem. So we hope to see more of him at our LV Lug meetings. And I told him to get in contact with the BC Lug people because I'm sure they would be interested. And he did a question and answer period, which, of course, the big question was, so I build a lug cluster, what do I do with it? Well, that's the big thing. The lug is talked about, and not only our lug, but also the BC lug, about building a cluster. But you build it, and what do you do with it? Well, in order to take advantage of a cluster, you actually, there's two types of programs that you can actually run. You can take advantage of a program that has been written for parallel computing, which would be able to go across multiple processors in a cluster. And you're talking, you know, you'd have to actually write the software to be able to do that. Fluid dynamics, biometrics, physics, chemistry, big fields that use it. Or you can submit multiple programs or multiple problems to the cluster, which it'll delegate a single processor to use. So if you had a four-processor cluster that you might build in your basement, you can have it working on four different applications at one time, and each one of those processors will be taking care of the application. So it's, you know, really, realistically speaking, for home use, I mean, for just to build a cluster for kicks and giggles, you know, the big thing is what do you do with it? Now, he had mentioned about rendering movies and graphics, and that would be a one thing that might be useful to try out doing, because he said that if you used a point of view ray program, that they actually have one of their binaries, or you get the RPM or compile it yourself, but they have a parallel tasking binary, and that's one of the demonstrations they show when they actually put together clusters. That on a single processor machine or dual processor machine, it would do each one of those little bits of the picture one at a time. Where in a cluster, you can have multiple processors working on individual bits. And if one bit's larger than the other or one part of the picture, you know, the task monitoring batch system would handle the, you know, when one processor's finished rendering its portion, it would send them another portion, whereas this other processor might take twice as long as the first, and it would handle it in such a way that he said that it might take an hour or so to render a picture, but with the cluster, it could take a couple of minutes. So, interesting stuff that he talked about. Definitely check out Cluster World magazine, because it looks like it's going to be a nice little periodical. And speaking of magazines, one of the things that I've noticed, and because I, like I said, I check out Wegmans all the time, so go to bookstores and look at the magazine. I look at the Linux magazines and I compare them with the big popular Windows magazines out there, and the one thing I have never seen on the front of any of these Linux magazines is a section or headlines that say security fixes, latest bug fixes, how to make Windows or Linux run faster, registry tweaks or tweaks to make the system run faster, tweaks to improve the system, how to get Windows to do X, Y, and Z, or Linux to do X, Y, and Z, like I see on the covers of the Windows magazine all the time. Every month, they're telling you how to make the damn thing run faster and be more reliable, and you have to go out there and collect or download these trialware or sometimes freeware, not free software, but freeware, or paid products to make the damn thing work a little better, a little more reliable. You don't see that on those Linux magazines, and I'm proud of that. I never saw it on Daemon magazine, and rarely do I see it on the Mac Addict or any of the Mac World magazines. You rarely see that, how to improve performance of your operating system. I guess that's a good testament the bulk of the Windows magazines I've seen are very pandering to the lowest level, focusing mostly on application reviews and hardware reviews and what's the best, and not a lot of content or substance like you would get out of Linux Journal or Linux Magazine. And when I pick one of those magazines up, I know I'm in for a good read and stuff that I can pull out and actually start doing. I was kind of disappointed when I picked up a copy of Mac Addict, and there really wasn't anything beyond some of the basics, and then said, well, if you want to learn more, buy this program or that program, and then the incredible amount of ads in the back of that magazine was just disheartening. I've noticed that some of the Windows-based magazines are picking up a little bit from the quality that you see with the Linux magazines and offering a little more in-depth content and detail. And typically, those are the magazines you have to buy at Barnes & Noble or Borders Bookstore. One of the few magazines that I read that covers multiple platforms is CPU. I used to read Maximum PC, but you know, when I read a little blurb in there where they said, Linux is just not as reliable and polished as Windows NT 4, but it's something that's worth looking at. That was the end of the magazine for me. They did a nice magazine called Maximum Linux a few years back, but then it just went out, which was a bummer. I thought it was a pretty good magazine, particularly for, you know, people just jumping on a Linux. Anyway, Windows magazines suck. PC World, PC whatever, I think it sucks. That's just my opinion. I know Link reads them religiously, and Alan's got his own subscription to those, but they suck. Kicking through the time here, doing pretty good for a person-only show. Monday of this week, I went up to the Carbon Lehigh Intermediate Unit, CLIU, the IU Intermediate Unit up there in Schnecksville, in the same campus as Lehigh Vocational and Technical Institute, and Lehigh Career and Technical Institute. I don't know, they change it quite frequently. And the LTRIC campus, the IU's up there, for Apple's presentation on their 10.3 server and their storage solutions, their Xserve RAID systems. It was interesting presentation. The 10.3 server looks nice. They focused on the integration with Active Directory and LDAP and how to manage users. One of the things that I have seen, management of users across a network-based system, I think Novell, and this is just my experience, has a pretty damn good system for creating, managing users. The concept of single login for all your services, they've done an incredible job, and it's based on LDAP, and I believe they're bringing all that to the Linux. They already have it into Linux, but it looks really, really good. Anyway, they're quite proud of their OS 10.3 server, and gotta give them props. It's really nice. It's based on the FreeBSD 5.5 and their mock kernel. They really beefed up their GUI administration tools to their various services like DNS, FTP, Secure Shell, their streaming server, all sorts of stuff. And what's interesting is the new GUI administration tools, they're coming along. They're not the best in the world. You could do some minor things. It's nowhere near being able to go down to the command line and do it yourself. That's where all the flexibility lies. And it still doesn't touch Webmin for administration if you want to use a GUI-type interface, which Webmin runs just on every single Unix-based platform. I run it on my laptop just to check it out because it's really cool. But they're coming along. They've switched their mail system to PostFix, and they were quite pleased with that. And a guy there from Eastern Area School District, a Big Mac guy, was talking about how he runs Mac on his home domain to do his email and some proprietary email system that he pays for, and was wondering if the new OS X 3 server had a web-based email. And the guy's like, yep. And he couldn't really show it to us because when you enable it through the GUI interface, you have no idea where it is. Because let me tell you what it is. It's Squirrel Mail, and I run Squirrel Mail, and I think Squirrel Mail is pretty cool. And for any of those who really want to know, it's Lehigh Career and Technical Institute. Thank you, Paladin. Anyway, Squirrel Mail on upon Apache and PostFix for the email system, which, you know, I'm using Apache, QMail, and Squirrel Mail. So they're really, like, hepping up all this open source technology like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Because it is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But they really jumped on the bandwagon. But they kind of, like, it's interesting to watch, like, these Apple, diehard Apple people get exposed to this stuff for the first time, and they're like, whoa, that's really cool. And they can't believe, you know, what's interesting, they can't believe it's actually free. You know, this guy over here running an email system pays for the email server, not alone, you know, the OS X operating system. But anyway, so that it was pretty cool. Now, let me make something clear. The presentation at the IU was not done by the IU. It was done by an engineer from Apple out of New York and our local Apple sales representative, just showcasing some of their stuff. So when I'm talking about the IU, is the place where it was hosted. It was geared towards educational institutions like the local school districts. So, no, the IU is not running Apple OS X servers and is not using PostFix as their email system. But I do believe they are using Linux, or they were. They used to run the firewall on Windows over there. Oh, my God, that was just awful. Going down all the time. Anyway, OS X 3 server. It's nice, coming along. They have their new X-Raid storage solution, which, you know, just like anybody else's storage solution, they have one out there now. But that's what they brought up. It was pretty cool. I still don't think it beats Linux. Or even FreeBSD. Or give NetBSD. And for people out there using it, OpenBSD. Doesn't beat it, I don't think. Nice GUI, but I still prefer my Linux. All right. We're getting close to the end of the show here. I thought I'd mention some Linux video editing stuff for anyone who might be interested. I checked out Avidimux, which is a graphical utility to edit digital video. It uses primarily MPEG format, or converting to MPEG format. It looks like a promising utility. It'll open AVI and MPEG files, but I haven't been able to get it to open my AVI files that I pulled in from Kino off the digital camera. I don't know why. I haven't spent a lot of time exploring it yet. But if you're interested in exploring this Linux video stuff with us, Patrick, LV Lug member Patrick Davila, is really looking forward to getting together on a monthly or twice a month to work on some of this Linux video stuff, using digital video, ripping the digital video to Linux, editing it, and then putting it on a DVD. So if you're not a member of the mailing list, the Lug mailing list, you know, join, and maybe you can get together with us. And speaking of LV Lug stuff, thinking about planning for 2004, because our next meeting isn't until January. January 13th. And looking back on this past year and some of the stuff that Link and I have been talking about, the lack of participation amongst the LV Lug members, and actually getting things besides him and I to do a presentation. we were looking at, you know, looking towards the future, what can we do? And one of the things I do want to set up when I get onto the Speakeasy network is a honeypot for crack testing. Let LV Lug and BC Lug members have at it and see about how stable and secure some of the distributions of Linux and BSD are right out of the box. Learn the techniques that might be used to break into a system and explore from there. Of course, we have the Linux video editing project going on and continuing with the Linux Link Tech Show. Oh, speaking of the Linux Link Tech Show, and Alan, if you're on the chat, you can chime in here, and because I can't remember the guy's name, but we went over and checked out Moravian College does a radio show. Some of the students in there do a radio show out of the basement of a dorm. They do a net radio show that's basically broadcast only on Moravian's their own network, their LAN. But they're using Shoutcast on Windows, and they got, of course, more sophisticated equipment than we do. But it was interesting to check them out and see what they have to say, what they were doing. The guy's interested in getting a couple copies of Dynabolic and see what he could do with it. So what was kind of funny is he said that about every 6 hours they have to shut down the machine and turn it back on because it starts getting slow, he said, slow. So Alan says he thinks his name was Marty, but we'll figure that out for next month. And maybe we can get something going on with them. That would be pretty cool. All right, it's the 10 o'clock hour, a little past 10 o'clock. I've been kicking it for an hour, running solo. I think I'm going to start closing it up and spend some time with the wife and my youngest daughter, who is still up. I hope that Link is feeling better for next week's show. I hope that Alan got new tires so that he can make it to next week's show. I thank everybody, Mellophone, Paladin, you guys for being there once again on the chat. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I thank the people who are downloading the show on a regular basis. I'm going to sign off for tonight because I don't see any other questions flying by. Remember, Conan the Cimmerian was released on December 2nd. Check out the Dark Horse comic and the new game coming out. You know what I didn't mention? There is a very, very high possibility that there will be a new Conan movie produced by the Wachowski brothers coming out in a couple of years, which I think they're trying to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Conan, but he's going to play an older Conan, of course. It's going to be based in the King Conan days. Now, if you go over to the Conan.com website, there's some fever going over on about the proposed script and how it kind of isn't dark enough and really isn't Conan enough. But, I don't know. Check out the forums over at Conan.com if you want more information. Thank you for listening. Be sure to be here next week. If you can, don't forget to listen to the Linux Show on Tuesday nights. Or download from their archive. As usual, I'm going to leave you with the Linux Link Tech Show theme, Ruined by Me. I thank Muse for keeping stable tonight. I thank you guys for listening and not having any problems. And you enjoy the rest of your week.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.